Okay, so we got to the bottom of Pei Alpha and Beis. We're on Pei Beis. So the Gemara on the bottom of the Pei Alpha and Beis, 1 to 5 lines on the bottom, quote from the Mishnah that Shasa Tsir or Marais Pater. If someone drinks some type of brine, some type of dip that's not really edible or drinkable on its own, but it's used as a dip, Tsir Pater. So the Gemara says, Hachometzchai, the Gemara's Medaik, well, the only thing listed is brine and whatever Marais is, but chometz, vinegar, that was not listed in the Mishnah. So if you drink vinegar straight, even though it doesn't seem to be drinkable, you would be chayiv, actually, for drinking below lugmav of chometz on Yom Kippur. So Masnis and Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rebbe is the author. The Tanya, Rebbe Omer. Chometz, meshiv is a nefesh. Vinegar has the ability, the strength of, Rashi explains it, mivata esainoi. It's meshiv is a nefesh. I don't know, it probably doesn't taste very good going down, but somehow, whatever effect it has on the body, it is somewhat satisfying to the body, even though it doesn't taste very good. And therefore, since Yom Kippur is all about Yisuvei Daita, about meshiv nefesh, it's going to qualify as a chiv kares. Darsh of Gidal bar Menashe Mibiri Darnarsh. He was darshaning. He came from this place. Ein halacha k'rav k'rebi. We don't pasken like Rebbe. Meaning, if a person does drink chometz on Yom Kippur, he's not chayiv karis. Lashana, the next year, nafki kuli alma. Everybody went out. Mazgu b'shasu chala. They took some vinegar. They diluted it with water and they drank it because who was it? Rav Gidal darshan that we don't pasken like Rebbe, so you could drink vinegar on Yom Kippur, not a problem. Shama Rav Gidal, Rav Gidal v'ikpar. He was very upset. What do you mean? Well, how are you going out and drinking vinegar on Yom Kippur? Amar, and he said, Amar de Amri Anna de Eved, the Chachilim Yamri. I said, if a person happened to have drink, he drunk vinegar, so be the Eved, he didn't do anything that bad. But I didn't say, Lechachili, you should go ahead and do it. And Amar de Amri Anna Pursa, Tuva mi Amar. I said, a little bit of vinegar, a lot of vinegar, and I didn't say that. And further, Amar de Amri Anna Chai, Mazig mi Amri. I said, raw, not raw, but very potent and non-diluted vinegar, so that would be perhaps okay, but to dilute it with water and make it something really like a drink, that I never said, and therefore I assume the few years to follow, you probably did not have any vinegar in Yom Kippur. Now up to the new Mishnah, a very famous Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hatinokos ein ma'anin osan b'yom ha-kippurim. The children, the girls, boys, when they're younger, you don't make them fast on Yom Kippur. And Rashi says, top line, Ein chayovim limnoa mehen ma'achla. You don't have to hold back food from them. The mashmos of Rashi is, but if you want, you can hold back food from them. If you look at the Rambam says, I guess exact language you have in the back, Rambam writes in Hilchos Shvisus Asar, that's the halachas of Yom Kippurim, he says, Chova limnoa mehen milasanas. You have to refrain them from fasting. You cannot allow them to fast. While Rashi seems to imply that you may, you don't have to, but you might be able to, you might be allowed to let them fast. Continuing, the Mishnah says, Aval, however, although you don't have to make them fast, Mechanchen also lifnei shana, lifnei shnasayim, b'shvil sheyu regilim b'mitzvos. But before a year or two beforehand, you should start training them how to fast, because that's the mitzvah of chinuch, from being ragam and mitzvahs, having them get comfortable, used to doing mitzvahs. So the says the Gemara, well, I'll just say quickly, there's a big hakira when it comes to chinuch, the nature of chinuch. The nature of chinuch, Chacham created a mitzvah d'rabbanan, you have to do mitzvahs. Or it wasn't so much a takana, but meaning, let's say it this way, was a mitzvah incumbent upon the parent or the father to be mechayev the children of mitzvahs? Or was it really the children's mitzvah to just get regulated to do mitzvahs, to get comfortable doing mitzvahs, but it wasn't on the parents, it was more so on the children. So they learn from this mission, it sounds like Sheyu Regilim, that they're comfortable, that they're used to it, they become regulated to do it. It sounds like it's a mitzvah on the children to be regulated, as opposed to a chiv that they place on the parents. Anyways, so the Gemara is...
Meaning it's a mitzvah on the parents only because their children are tinokos, are not
yeah, harmful. Midiraisa is no mitzvah under the age of 12 and 13.
Right.
Chacham said, we're going to make a new mitzvah. But now the Mishnah says the reason is to regulate it. So in terms of regulating it, so what's a nafkamina? Nafkamina would be, how exact do you have to perform the mitzvah? if the mitzvah that they took a deraisa mitzvah of, let's say, lulav, and they said now we're extending that to the parents, have to make the children do that same mitzvah, it has to be exact ge'ein deraisa tikkun. All the psulim that apostle lulav is going to apostle for our children also. If the mitzvah simply ragil to regulate them, to get comfortable, if they don't know the difference, what they're doing, as long as they think they're doing the dalamim, well, they're regulated to do the mitzvah, so that would be a nafkamina. We showed them, like the Ritva and Sukkah talks about this, that you have to have the any possible psul that applies to a gadol is going to apply to a katan to lulav as well. The toast in the beginning of Chagigah that Beis seems to say otherwise. Mara talks about a katan who brings a karban. A katan can't perform a smicha, but don't worry about it. Even though it's not exactly the way it has to be, it's simply chinuch. You don't have to have all the exact rules. So it's a big machlokas Rishonim based on this chakira. So Gemara says now, hashta b'fnei shdaim mechanchin lehu. Once the Mishnah said, 2 years prior to their becoming bar mitzvahs, they have to start fasting. Bifnei shana mibai. Do you have to mention 1 year before? Let's take a boy, for example. He's 13. So at the age of 11, he has to start fasting. You don't have to say at the age of 12. It's obvious once you start fasting 11, you're going to fast 12. So why does the Mishnah say 1 and 2 years before the bar mitzvah you're supposed to fast? Just say 2 years before you start fasting. So Amar Rav Chisda lo kasha, ho b'chol ha'ber birya, depending how healthy the child is. If he's a sick child, he's not so strong, he's very weak. So then only a year beforehand does he start fasting. But if he's a healthy child, so then even 2 years before. So there are two different cases. Either 1 or 2 years, depending on the strength of the child, that's when you're supposed to start his chinuch of fasting. Amar Rav Huna, ben shmona u ben teisha, mechan chinoso l'shos. The son, 8, 9 years old, you start teaching him to fast a few extra hours more than he's used to. So, is there an example here? No example. Okay, you see, let's say he normally eats breakfast at 8:30 in the morning. You have him push it off till 10:30 in the morning. Just a couple extra hours adding on to showing some self-control in eating. Ben Yud, Ben Yud Alf, 10 or 11, Mishmashlimim Midirabanan. Then, when he's 10 or 11, he's supposed to complete the fast, but that chiyuv is only a din derabanan, but he's supposed to complete the fast. And then Ben Yud Beis, when he's 12, so then Mashlimim Midiraisa Bitinokos, they qualify. So that's when he's 12, she really has to complete it Midiraisa. So we're talking about all these ages was really when it came to a girl. So again, when it came to a girl, when she's 8 or 9, she should start pushing off breakfast a couple hours later into the day. When she's 10 or 11, she's supposed to complete the fast because of chinuch midirabanan. And when she's 12, when she's bas mitzvah, then she must complete the fast midiraisa. And that's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Nachman Amar, ben tesu ben yud mechan chenos al l'shaos. 9 or 10, she starts pushing off pushes off the breakfast a couple hours, l'shaos. Ben Yudal, Ben Yud Beis, 11 or 12, then Mashtimin, Midirbanan, then he completes the fast, but only as an obligation, a rabbinic obligation. And then Ben Yud Gimel, when he becomes Bar Mitzvah, Mashlimin Midiraisa, he has to complete the fast Midiraisa, Bitinok, referring to a boy. So that's the difference between a boy and a girl, because of course the age of Bas Mitzvah and Bar Mitzvah are different. If Yochanan, a third opinion comes, not really a third opinion, because the first two opinions seem to agree with each other, just one's talking about a boy, one's talking about a girl. If Yochanan Amar, Hashlama Dirabanan Leka. He had no concept of Hashlama Midirabanan. So what did he understand? What was the different stages? Ben Yud, Ben Yud Alf, Mechan Chenos HaLashaos. Ben Yud Beis, Mashlim and Midiraisa. 10 and 11, you teach him to start pushing off breakfast a couple hours into the day, but there's no Indian to complete the fast. And when she reaches the age of 12, then Midiraisa, she has to complete the fast. Now, the either side here, Hagos Vitzionim says, should add the word here, Tinokos, referring to a girl. And it would be for a boy, then it should be different ages. It should be 10, 11, and 12. The boy should extend his breakfast a little bit. And when he's 13, he should complete the fast midiraisa. So Gemara says, Tanan, quotes from the Mishnah, our Mishnah above. Hatinokos ein ma'anin osab yom kippurim. You don't make the children fast. Aval mechanchen osol lifnei shanav lifnei shnasayim. You let them fast a year or two beforehand. So now let's understand this. There's a bit of a gear, so it's going to be a bit very, very confusing, I think. Vishmal Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shnasnaim, Lifnei Shana, Lidivrayam, Lifnei Shnaim, Lidivrayam. Unclear what's talking about here. There's an alpha. The gruff takes you to a bit of a long gruff for his, at least he's usually very terse. He takes you some girsas here. There's another, it's a bachia that takes you to some girsa issues. So, what exactly?
You can really. You want me to read the whole? This is very.
It's very long. So let me go through this quickly then.
So we can say, but it's good see. Because I think.
Yeah, because okay. I know there's a huge machlokas in terms of girsos
okay,
here.
So let's, because here it says, okay, tenan hatinokot, me anino tam yomakil poim, aval mechanchin matan lifnei shana velifnei shtayim. Veizvarnu shakavana hi shevetshnatayim o shlosha shanim acharonim lifnei גדלות תלויים מחנכים לשעות ואין זה מתאים לשיטות הללו למה? בשלמה לרבי גונבר נחמן הסוברים שיש חיוב להשלים את הצום מדרבנן בשנה או שנתיים האחרונים לפני גדלות אחרון גדלות והחינוך לשעות הוא עוד קודם לזה נוכל ליישב את שיטתם שהמשנה מדברת על חינוך לשעות של חולים בלבד שהוא מתחיל שלוש שנים לפני גדלות ולשון המשנה לפני שנה ולפני שנתיים כולו מתפרש על עניין זה כך מה שאמר במשנה לפני שנה כלומר שמתחילים לחנך חולים להתענות מקצת היום ביום הכיפורים שהוא לפני השנה הסמוכה למועד שחייבים לשלם את הצום לכל היום נאמר לעניין לדבריהם חובות השלמה שהיא מדרבנן דהיינו שנתיים לפני שמשלימים מדרבנן מתחילה להתענות לשעות ומי שנאמר משל לפני שנתיים
The Mishnah is talking about sick kids.
No, but it's something about hours and Sha'ot is
Sha'ot before they reach to the age. But sick kids?
No, but it says that it works with somebody's opinion, it doesn't work with somebody else's opinion.
בשלמה לרב הונה, הסוברים שיש חיוב להשלים. רב הונה ורב נחמן, they are סוברים. It is a חיוב to complete the tzon from the Rabbanan, a year or two before.
Let's try this Rashi together. Let's look at the Rashi Tanan. Rashi Tanan, מחנך נוסה לשאוס לפני שנה. דהיינו שתי שנים לפני שתיים דהיינו שלוש. So you're supposed to, the Mishnah tells us you're supposed to do chinuch of hours. Let them push up breakfast for a few hours, let's say. And the Mishnah says you do that a year before or 2 years before. So a year before means 2 years really before.
3 years.
No, the first one is 2 years
right,
though.
Right.
So we're talking about the shos. So again, if you have stages of shos, shama midirbanan, and then shama midiraisa, so in terms of the shos, that goes a year before the Hashama Midrabanan, which is actually 2 years before the Chiyuv Deraisa.
Where do you see Shaot?
That's what Rashi says.
Oh, איפה? אין מעניין אותן, אין, או מחנכין אותן, לשעות לפני שנה שהיה סמוכה לפרק. מה זה שעות?
Hours. Instead of a full day, you only do a few extra hours, they fast.
Fasting for you.
Right. No, because the whole concept of Chinuch, they're taking it as something that has zero kind of Hashlama. From the Tanis point of view, only for Chinuch, only Chinuch.
You understand, to make the used to.
Right, but yeah. the one that's made Rabbanan already, it's a whole day.
So yeah. It's not,
okay. Okay, so I think the idea is as follows, that according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, who held that there are three stages, there's Shaos, Hashama Midrabanan, and Hashama Midiraisa. So what the Mishnah is referring to, a year and 2 years beforehand, it means when do you do shaos? You do shaos a year or 2 years before
Hashama Midrabanan,
which is 2 or 3 years before the Deraisa.
Right.
But according to Rav Yochanan, who has no Hashama Midrabanan, there's only once. There's two stages. There's a shaos and there's Hashama Midrasa. So 1 or 2 years doesn't match up well with what he held.
But you're missing the essence here. The Mishnah is talking about sick kids. That's why you make them use for shaot. Two a year before, and Rav Nachman and.
No, it's not because of sick kids.
Of course.
Okay, Rashi throws that in there, but it's confusing with that Rashi.
No, the reason why it's sick is If it's sick, it's 1 year before. If it's not sick, it's 2 years before. Isn't that's what the Gemara is telling us? Why does it say 2 and 1? If it's 2, why do you need 1? So the so 2 is not chole, but here is talking about the year before that, even the third year, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the Gra continues on the Yisod that, as we answered before, that Shana and Shnosayim is once for a Bari and once for a Chola.
Okay.
And he says that it's talking about how far before the Zman Chiyuv until the Shaos extends. In other words, how much time would be left then for Hashlomo in the Derabanan.
Okay.
So Lifnei Shana is talking about a Chola, because there's only going to be 1 year of Hashlomo. So Lifnei Shana is up until Shana is when you're Chayiv in Shaos, if you're a Chola. And up until Shnayim, namely leaving 2 years of Hashlomo Derabanan, is for a Bari.
Okay.
So there's a way to teach the Mishnah, according to Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, of Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shnayim, according to Chola and Bari, that would leave you still a Zman until Hashlomo Derabanan kicked in, but a Shaos existed prior to that.
But according to Yochanan, who doesn't hold of Hashlomo at all, so then he can't, this Mishnah doesn't make sense to him?
Yeah, he doesn't really speak about Rabbi Yochanan, but I presume that the Mishnah doesn't make sense.
Even to Rabbi Yochanan, it's depending if he's sick or he's healthy.
There's no Hashlomo, if there's no Hashlomo Derabanan, so what does it mean until a Shana or Shnatayim or Shtayim beforehand? That's when there's Shaos, and then there's Hashlomo Derabanan. It's not true. There's never Hashlomo Derabanan.
Okay, so we'll take that approach. Okay, we'll work with that. Okay, it's confusing. Like the back has like 8 different Kirsals. Actually, has a whole section here. He says, I'm going to tell you a number of different Kirsals according to Rashi, according to the Rif, according to this person, and I'm going to explain the Sugya according to each one separately. So there he's several columns here. He discusses the various Kirsals. So it's a bit confusing. Yes. So says the Gemara now. So again, Ela Rabbi Yochanan Kashi, Rabbi Yochanan working with Hashlomo Derabanan, who has no concept of Hashlomo Derabanan, how is he going to understand this Mishnah? So the Gemara says, this is the last narrow line in the Gemara, Am lecha Rabbi Yochanan, my shana o shtayim, samach lepirkan. So it's not referring to the how long it lasts for the Hashlomo, rather it's referring to an age. So he removes the word lifnei and just says 1 or 2 years before they become a gadol. Right, that's why I think Rashi was a little bit. Right, with the gear set of lifnei, it sounds like you're adding another year onto it. You start a year before the 1 year and a year before the 2 years, totaling 3 years. So according to Rav Huna and Rav Nachman, who had Shaos and Hashlomo Derabanan, that time period really lasted 3 years for a Bari and 2 years for a Chola.
So Rav Nachman is talking about the boy or a girl?
Both.
Let's talk about Rav Nachman. He mentions a girl. He mentions a boy, rather.
Right, so he basically... So Rav Huna is talking about the girl and Rav Nachman is talking about the boy. Is that what it is?
They are talking about, they are, exactly. But I think they both agree with each other. Is there a paper here?
So there is no machloket between... Right, they just want to talk about the girl and what the girl.
Okay, I'm going to use this paper here. Yeah, this is Rav Nachman. This is Rav Yochanan. And who do we have?
Rav Huna. You're writing on your thing now.
Yeah, it's fine. I have extra paper in the back. It's fine. I'm just like, it's extra paper. I'm not using it. It's not a big deal. Okay. So let's do age. Let's do for a boy. 13, 12, 11, 10. So according to Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, who's talking about a boy? Let's forget Rav Huna right now. He's talking about a girl. Rav Nachman.
Right. Rav Nachman.
He says this one's going to be
Shaos. Right.
And this is Hashlama. And then this is Deraisa.
Right.
And if Yochanan held, there's no such thing as Hashlama. He does Shaos.
Right.
And Shaos, I guess, again, and Deraisa.
Right. Does he mention? Does he mention Choli or not Choli or no?
He doesn't, but that's the difference between Shana versus Shnasayim.
Right, okay.
So let's work with Shnasayim for now. Forget the Shana, forget right. The Choli. Let's talk about Bari. So Lefnei Shnasayim of a Bari, the word Lefnei sounds like a year before the 2 years.
Right.
Which is 3 years. So that means 1, 2, 3 years is the Chinuch, according to Rav Nachman.
Right.
Rav Hun is the same thing, but he's talking about a girl. So it just everything moves back. It goes to really 9, 10, 11, 12 for Rav Huna. But it's really 3 years before him.
Correct.
It's really 4 years. It's up to the second or up to the first year beforehand that there's going to be Ashlama. But there was really 2 years of shows before the 2 years of Ashlama.
Is there 2 years of show? What was his actual opinion? What did he say? So why are we saying only 3 years and it's really four?
According to the Gra.
Okay.
Up to Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shnasayim, up until the Shnasayim, or up until the Shana, there was this other type of Chinuch.
Whatever it is, chinuch, year, 2 years.
So whatever the, exactly, I see. Whatever okay. The period was, it was up to two before and up to 1 year uh-huh. Before. So the Lashon of Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shnasayim, like you're saying, is up until that point, there was some other existing
some time period.
But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't work because, again, that you're, all you're in at that point is already this Shavuos, man, there's no Hashlama period to come, there's no Lifnei Shana. Mara's answer is, Samach Lapirkon, don't count it from the end, don't say Lifnei Shana, Lifnei Shana, that's when the new Hashlama starts and it's Lifnei, meaning that the other period had ended, rather say it's the Haschala, it's the Samach Lapirkon, it almost exactly. Has like a different, it's almost like an Akimta in the Mishnah. Like.
Right, so there are two time periods of Derbanan according to Huner of Nachman, there's Lifnei, which is Shavuos, and then there's the actual year and 2 years of Hashlama. According to Yochanan, he only has one concept of chinuch of Shavuos. There's no concept of lifnei. There's no pre-chinuch period. It's all one chinuch period of Shavuos. So that's the Gemara answer. The word lifnei should be removed. And there's just one time period. There's 1 or 2 years, samach to lepirkan, right before they get bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. That's the time period of Shavuos. But there's no, again, lifnei. There's no pre-chinuch, if you will. Right? That's, okay. Fine. That's how he gets out of it.
So he takes out lifnei shana.
Exactly, because there's no pre-time period for him.
Oh, he says umechachim atam shana, shnatayim bishvil sheyir regelim lemitzvah.
There's 1 or 2 years right before he gets bar mitzvah, right. Where he fasts hashavos.
Right.
There's no lifnei before that.
Right.
Okay. Says the Gemara now, Tashma, the first Y line. Tashma. Ditani Rabba Bar Shmuel Tinokos Ain Ma'anin. What? Lost me? Tashma. Ditani Rabba Bar Shmuel Tinokos Ain Ma'anin Osaim Yom HaKippurim. Aba Mechanchen Osashana Oshasayim Samach Lepirkan. Suspicion of Yochanan Nicha. This makes sense because the word Lefnei doesn't appear. This Brisa, similar to our Mishnah, but just doesn't have the word Lefnei. This makes
right.
Sense.
Right. Ella
Rav Huna, Rav Nachman Kasha. It doesn't say the word Lefnei. Where's the pre-Chinuch time period? So Amlech Rabbanon, my Chinuch, Nami Dekasani Hashlama. So what's chinuch that's mentioned? It's referring to hashlama. So they're referring to, in this bryce we brought, mechanchi means me mechanchin also with hashlama. Yes, there's a pre-time period called, that's referring to shalos, but that wasn't on the agenda. That wasn't on the radar here. This bryce, this focus was mechanchin in terms of hashlama. There's also a pre-thing, but that just wasn't on the radar here. That's how the Rabbanon will go, the Rav Huna, Rav Nachman had the wiggle out of this bryce. So it says the Gemara v'hatanya, but doesn't the Brisa say eze chinuch? What's chinuch?
So according to this, there's no shalos at all.
The shalos is just it's not mentioned in the Brisa. The Brisa is when it mentions chinuch, it means hashlama. But there does exist this shalos chinuch also. That just wasn't in this the agenda of this Brisa. So the Gemara says v'hatanya eze chinuch. What's chinuch? Hayaragil echel b'shtei shalos. Do you really call chinuch hashlama? Is that really the same thing? V'hatanya, doesn't the Braisa teach us? Eze chinuch, hayaragul echel b'shtei shalos, machinas al shalosh. Let's say usually wakes up and 2 hours into the day he eats. So in Yom Kippur, this child should wait 3 hours to eat. B'shalosh, machinas al b'arba. If he's used to eating 3 hours after he wakes up, we'll push it off until 4 hours. So we see that here, chinuch is defined as shalos, not defined as hashlama. So how can you interpret the Brice above when it says chinuch is referring to hashlama? Amrava Barula, Trey Chinuch Havi, there are two types of chinuch when it comes to Yom Kippur at least. There's a chinuch of Shaus and there's a chinuch of Hashama. They're both called chinuch, not a big deal. Okay, this is a very important Gemara for many reasons. One of the reasons is because this seems to be a source that there is such a thing as chinuch when it comes to a daughter. The Gemara Nazir has a machlokas Reish Lakshav Yochanan whether a father is able to make his son a Nazir. And the Gemara explains because of chinuch, you treat him how to do chinuch, how to do precious, how to separate. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argued this point. So the Rishonim argue, well, does that apply to other mitzvahs or maybe something unique to Nazir? So this is one of the riyas they bring that you see here that referring to a daughter, and you're supposed to teach her have chinuch to a daughter as well. The Rav Moshe has a tshuva, it comes to Meiser Ksafim, using your money, that you take Meiser, you can only use Meiser for non-obligatory mitzvahs. So let's say you can't use money for Meiser to pay for your son's tuition to learn Torah, you have an obligation to teach your son Torah, to use that money to pay for tuition, that's not allowed. But what about using your money, Meiser Ksafim, to pay for a girl's education? There's no obligation for a girl to learn Talmud Torah, so for her to send her to yeshiva, so maybe that would be allowed to use the Meiser Ksafim because it's not a chiv. So Moshe writes, no, because there's a chiv to be a mechanich, your daughter, on the right path, Derech Hashem. That means teaching her Chumash, teaching her Rashi, teaching her whatever she needs to do to stay on the right path. That is considered a chiv, so therefore you cannot use Meiser Ksafim either for paying for tuition, he says.
Because it's chinuch, and chinuch is a mitzvah.
Exactly, it's a chiv. Anytime there's a chiv, you can't use Meiser Ksafim for a chiv. Right. Now, another thing, Mishnah Berurah talks about when you say at a bar mitzvah, the father says, Baruch Shepratani mi Anshe Shalzeh. So, thank you for exempting me from the punishments of my children, which, according to the most, means that I have to teach my children the mitzvos, and anything he doesn't do right, it's on me, the father. So once he's 13, he's on his own, he's independent. So what about when a daughter becomes bas mitzvah? Is he supposed to also say baruch shepachanim yon shashazeh? Should I also say that? Well, thank you. Now I have no obligation anymore. If there's a mitzvah chinuch and a daughter, so the chori should also say the bracha, or without shame Hashem, you should also say that I'm no longer going to be punished for my daughter's sins. So they say not to say that because there are not so many mitzvahs that a woman's obligated to do. So it's not, you're not like, you weren't so much in danger in the first place because there wasn't so much incumbent upon her in the first place, as opposed to a boy. There's a lot more responsibility. So there, now you really are off the hook when the son becomes bar mitzvah.
And the chinuch of the daughter is not on the mother?
Ah, so mother, very interesting. The Tosfos Yeshanim here actually discusses, we'll see in a week or so, well, not together, unfortunately, but Sukkah, we're learning in the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, Hilni Hamelet Malka. She was a queen, and they bring a rye from her that she had seven children, and then it must have been one of her children had to have been in the age of chinuch, and they sat in sukkahs. So we see from there that she was mechanech her children. They said, what do you mean, how is she mechanech her children? The chiv of chinuch is on the father, not on the mother. Right. So they bring a rye from there. So they answer. Tosfos Yeshanim here gives a few answers. One answer he says is, I think, that there's no father. So since there's no father, so she had to step in. Others say it was not a chinuch. She was being machmir.
The mother of Mumbaz?
Was she the mother of Mumbaz? I don't remember. I don't remember. I know it's in the same Mishnah and Yuma that you're probably referring to. I'm not sure if she was the mother or not. So Tosfos Yeshanim, I think, says also that maybe she wasn't a mitzvah chinuch, but she was just machmir herself to train her children the proper way. A few other answers are given. But there's a Rashi in the beginning of Chagiga that comes to Alila Regel, talks about bringing children up to Alila Regel. Rashi says that there's a mitzvah on the mother to do chinuch as well. So most say there's no mitzvah on the mother, but there are some indications that it might be, like the Gemara and Sukkah. But there's a big, again, this is a very famous Tosfos Yeshanim that discusses this.
It's funny, in Geula, there's one street called Hilni Hamelka.
Yeah.
And Mumbaz HaMelech.
So I'm not sure if they're related. But you see, it's the first Tosfos Yeshanim here, he addresses this. Okay. Might be a difference between Isser and whatnot. Okay, continuing in the Gemara now, the new Mishnah. The new Mishnah says, Ubra, a woman who's pregnant, Sheherichah, so she smells food. So she's hungry and it could be dangerous if she doesn't get what she wants. So Ma'achilin also ad she'teishev nafsha, you feed her until she becomes satisfied, she's content, and she could continue fasting and won't be a danger for her or for the fetus. Let's say it's a chola, a sick, whether it's a boy or a girl, this is a different point, someone who's sick, a mubaris is considered a chola also, but now chola, Ma'achilin also al pi bikin. So there, in this case, there's no one at danger really, someone who's sick. So you have to go ask the doctors. Based on the experts, you can only feed them if the experts say this person needs to be fed. the im ein chambekin, if there's no experts, no doctors in the house, so then machil nosal pi atmo ad shiomer dad. Then you could trust himself because there is a certain level of pikuach nefesh involved. So you say, okay, if the guy thinks he really needs to eat because it's dangerous to him, you feed him until he says it's enough. The Mara says, Tanu Rabbanan, ubra shericha basar kodesh. Let's say she smells kadshim. She's not allowed to have kadshim, let's say. What's she supposed to do? It's dangerous. Oh, basar chaza, she smells pig, some nice ham. So tochman lo kush berotev. So then you stick it in some of the sauce. Manichin lo pia, you place it on her lips, on her mouth. Vim nisashra daita mutav. So if she's satisfied with simply a little taste of the sauce, so we're trying to get around, there's no real, even though we saw tam ki'ikr, we say that tam ki'ikr, the taste is as if it's actually there. So this is a tima ba'alma, I would imagine, it's only slightly a taste, there's a discussion. Gemara Brachos, I imagine, I remember, the Gemara Brachos talks about whether ti'ima is permitted on Tainas Tzibur or not. You remember that? Daf Chaf or something?
Yeah.
The Gemara itself asks whether you could be toim on Tainas. So I assume it's referring to a ti'ima, maybe. So you let her taste a little bit. Im nisyashva da'it, the mutavim, she's satisfied with that, so okay, you can move on, everything's okay. Im lav, if that's not enough for her, then machilin also wrote tavatma, then you give her the actual sauce to eat, and not simply taste. If that satisfies her, okay, fantastic. However, if that doesn't satisfy her, the sauce isn't enough. So if she's not satisfied with the sauce alone, then you could give her the fats of the meat itself. Give her the kudshim, give her the pig.
So one of them she tries the rotif, and the other one she eats the rotif.
Right, one of them that you place on pia. The way I understood pia meant that she tasted it. Is that how
the
they're interpreting?
The other one, she actually eats the much
sauce.
More.
She eats the sauce, which
but
again,
the first one is also she tries the sauce.
No, she tastes it versus eats it.
Right. So one she just
tastes it, and then the other one she actually drinks the sauce, and then she actually drinks the meat.
Eats
the meat. Right. Thank you. Okay. So then. I think Mara said,
and this is only when there isn't something that's not hektesh. Meaning, let's say she is. Oh, because.
Interesting. I mean, why did Mara suggest wouldn't try to give her regular meat?
Right.
She smells the kachem. She smells
right.
The.
Give her maybe because it's not cooked yet. And it's still.
Uh huh. I would imagine there's something else we could probably give her instead, it would probably be better.
Right. But if that's all there is, then you do give it.
Right. Again, we were talking about Yom Kippur, so either way, there's an Isser to eat on Yom Kippur.
She's in Bet HaMikdash.
Yeah.
She's not home.
No, but maybe and there's other food to give her. Unless
no,
we're saying...
from the outside, regular food.
No, yeah. Unless we're saying... I forget, do we see this yet? Ain Isser Chal Isser yet? Did we discuss these halakhas? What about...
In Yuma, where?
Will the Isser, yeah, in Yuma... Of no. Yuma, the Isser Machal Sasuros, the Isser of eating Yom Kippur, is that going to be Chal or Machal Sasuros?
We didn't see that. We saw very briefly during, I think, Chatzis Shir, where it brought another mission of Isser Chal Isser.
Right, Nevelis and Trefels. Okay, let's discuss someone in Oman Aleph here. Should be coming up soon.
We're finishing one next Tuesday?
Tuesday, I think, yeah.
See him at my place.
In the city, in the fancy place.
We got this. We have to make the same one if he's around now.
Now you guys do this one with them. We'll do that.
We're coming back again.
Okay? 2 weeks. 13th. Yeah, 2 weeks exactly.
Maybe we'll do a lot of
luck.
You're more than here.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen all the time.
Just the last
2 months, 3 months. You might be.
The last one's Tuesday, I think.
Yeah. So February 4th, Tuesday is the last day.
Where do you live?
Woodman.
Central, yeah. Central.
So the fifth.
On Central.
All right.
Okay, so what I was trying to get at was, it might be better to even give her pig than have her eat something kosher in Yom Kippur. Why? I'm trying to remember this. I could be completely wrong, so forgive me if I am. But the concept of ein iser chal iser. One iser cannot be chal on a second iser. So when you eat pig, it's a lav. It's a lav. It's bad. It's a lav. There's no punishment. When you eat on Yom Kippur, it becomes karis. The question is the Isser Karis going to be Chal on the Isser Pig that already exists? We say Ein Isser Chal Isser.
It's nothing on Kumle Midrava Mine, or it's also.
Forget Kumle Midrava, that's only comes to Tashlumin, money issues. We're not talking about paying money. This is another Isser, Ein Isser Chal Isser. One Isser cannot be Chal on the second Isser. But there are certain rules that sometimes if it's an Isser Moses or an Isser Kolel, that once the Isser of Yom Kippur is being chal on kosher food, it's going to be chal even on non-kosher food. The question remains, is it going to be the Isser Yom Kippur, will that be chal on chazer or not? I think the Gemara itself addressed it. It's a pashut answer. I don't remember. If not here, the Gemara have almost talked at length about this concept of the Ein Isser Chal Isser, but unfortunately I don't remember.
Isser Chal Isser. Why should chal Isser be an Isser?
It's two different Isser. One's
but it's an Isser. So why you want to enforce the first Isser and the second one? If to begin with it's an Isser.
Because the second Isser might be stronger, have a chumra to it. Karis is going to be able to overpower the lav for the pig. So eating pig in Yom Kippur, you might not be chayav.
So that is the whole kasha is to be somebody does a bishoyge if he's chayav or chatas or not. Is that what it is?
Well, in terms of like lemaisa, I guess.
Let's say somebody eats pig bishoyge both because he doesn't know that it's pig and because he doesn't know that it's Yom Kippur. So if it's not chayav and Isser, then if it's chal and isur, then he would have to bring chatas. If not, he doesn't have to bring anything.
Exactly. Right.
Okay.
So the Gemara continues now and says, again, last resort, if she can't deal, she needs to eat the actual kachim, she needs to eat the pig, so then we say that she'ein l'chadavar she'omud b'fnei pikuach nefesh, nothing stands in the way of pikuach nefesh, of saving a life. Chutz me'avodah zarah gilui ra'is v'shvichas damim. Those are the only three that one cannot violate. The big three, avodah zarah gilui ra'is and shvichas damim, cannot be violated to save one's life. So Gemara talks about avodah zarah minal. And how do you know that one cannot violate avodah zarah to save his life, or someone's life? The Tanya, the Gemara says, the Brisa, Rabbi Yelezer Omer, im ne'mar b'chol nafshecha, lam ne'mar b'chol me'odecha. With all your nefesh, with all your mode, why repeat both those concepts? Vim ne'mar b'chol me'odecha, lam ne'mar b'chol nafshecha. What do you learn from these two different phrases? If there's a person who loves himself more than his money, you're supposed to use your whole soul, yourself, your nefesh, to serve Hashem. So, meaning give up your life for Hashem. Let's say he loves his property and his possessions much more than himself. So, you should be willing to give up all your money, all your possessions, for the sake of Hashem. We see from here, though, the idea that a person is supposed to give up nafshcha, give up himself, to save Hashem. Now, we can't say to every mitzvah you give up yourself, because there's another concept of chai b'hem, you're supposed to live. So, with the Gemara learns, it has to be referring to vaftas Hashem lokecha, something that you love Hashem with. Avodah zarah, something that goes against Hashem, you have to maintain and have that unwavering love for Hashem, and give up your own life, as opposed to doing avodah zarah.
The big chiddush here is that the people that mamono chayiv alav
migufo. Yes. That's fascinating that he has to even be addressed. I don't know how that could be possible. The person rather the property.
The Gemara has it, there is.
Look at the people who jumped. They're in a financial crisis and jumped off roofs and stuff.
Well, that's like stress. I don't think it was because they love their money more.
Sure, your body is an obvious. Nobody. Thank Hashem, I hear, I see, I walk, that you take it for granted. Money is not for granted. You need to work hard for it, taiva, yetzerara. It's not that easy. Therefore, most people will, they don't understand it. If they think about it, don't understand it. Oh, the goof is more important. They will go for the money, not for the goof. Most of us.
But a person is willing to give up his own life for the sake of his possessions.
Only to the second that he's saying, now I'm going to die, what stupid am. Until to that second, And then it's too late, probably.
Because you're saying, because people don't rationalize. I mean, people don't think that what they're doing is bad for the body because they're... It's...
Okay, so that's the source that for avodah zarah, you have to give up your life. Gilei ra'is or shvichas dam. How do I know those two also? You have to give up your own life? Minalon, how do I know? The Tanya, the Brisa says, Rebbe Omer ki kasha yokum ish al reyehu. V'ratzcho, when a person gets up and murders someone, nefesh, v'ratzcho nefesh. Kein adavar zeh. So this pasuk is found in the context of namarasa, a woman, a girl who's engaged and becomes raped. So the connection between, what's the connection of the psukim next to each other? One talking about ritzicha, one talking about gilei ra'is, where a woman's engaged to another man. V'chima inyan l'manu meretzeach l'namarasa. What's the connection we learn from retzeach we apply to namarasa? We come to teach it, and we also learn something from each other. What we learn from Rotzeach and Gilei Arayos. Ma narah murasa, and a woman, a girl who's engaged, nitein latzil benafsho, that she's allowed to save herself. A man's chasing her. She could save herself by killing the man who's chasing her. She's allowed to save herself that way. Af Rotzeach, so to Rotzeach, a person could save himself and kill the person who's chasing him. A rodef is someone who's chasing after somebody else to kill him, or chasing after somebody else to perform gilei arayos. That's considered rodef. You're allowed to kill a rodef. That's one halacha. Now, what we need for now, those are discussions in Sanhedrin. A rotzeach yaharag val yavor, just like a rotzeach is supposed to be killed as opposed to violating the isser ritzicha, better for him to be murdered than to murder. Af nar murasa yarag vayavar. So to a nar murasa, if she's told, listen, I'm going to kill you if you don't have relations, she's supposed to take her life or let herself be killed, as opposed to violating gilei arayos. This is giving up one's life and not violate these two averos.
It says, but why? It says interesting in the comments. He says yarag vayavar in belshon zachar velo tehareg velo tavor. It's only the mitzvah on the ish. When in regards to Gilead, and while a woman, Isha ina mitzuva limsor et nafsha, she's not mitzuva to give her nefesh, beze, in it, mipnei she'en yosa ma'aseh bevehilah, she's not the active.
Right.
She didn't die, to prevent, not to be with the Hashbosh.
You see this Tosos over here, which goes on to this Tosos here? That talks about this whole discussion. That a woman, in regards to Tashmish, she doesn't play a role in the Maisa. She's called Karka Olam. That's what the Gemara used, Karka Olam. So Gemara has a number. Tosos has a number of different explanations as to why a woman is not obligated in this, like what you just said. And Esther's one of the proofs, right? So Gemara says, okay, fine. So now Rotzeach, however, Gufim Nolan. How do you know Rotzeach itself? That person is supposed to give up his life better than to perform Ritzicha. We have to know that exists first before we can learn from Rotzeach to apply that to Namurasa and to other gilei arayos.
So Namurasa is part of gilei arayos?
Yeah. Because she's engaged. She's Erison, not right. Nisum, but still Erison. And yes, Namurasa, right.
I know she's high of Misa, but I didn't know if it was part of gilei arayos.
Yeah. So says the Gemara, so Rotzeach Gufei Minalan. How do you know Rotzeach itself is supposed to give up his own life better than to murder? Says the Gemara, Svara, it's a Svara. It's simple logic. A person once came to Rava, Amarli, Mari, Duri, a particular goy said to me, Katle Leploni, I should kill, let's say, Reuven, Vilo Katle Lecha, and if not, I will kill you. So I'm supposed to give my own life up? I'd rather kill Reuven and stay alive. Someone's going to get killed, me or Reuven, so at least let me make the decision and then kill Reuven, and this way I'll stay alive. You'll be killed, let yourself be killed, and you don't kill. Why? What's the reasoning? My chaz is the dummy didach somek tvei dilma dummy tahu gaver somek tvei. Literally, how do you know that your blood is redder than his? Maybe his blood is redder than yours. How do you know who's more important? It's a decision between two Jews. Maybe he's more important than you. You shouldn't have to make that decision. So better that you don't kill. Rather, stay back, be passive, and you have to take the hit for the team. Says the Gemara now. So actually, on the svar, this machlokas rishonim, the svar, let's say someone says to Reuven, I'm going to kill you, Reuven. I'm sorry, Reuven, you kill Shimon. And if you don't kill Shimon, I'm going to kill you and Shimon. Either way, Shimon's dying. So you may as well kill Shimon. This way you're going to stay alive, because if you don't kill Shimon, then I'm going to kill you also. So it's one versus two.
You don't believe it.
So according to this, I don't believe it. So maybe that's the Rambam actually says. Rambam says that no, you shouldn't kill him.
Right.
Why not? Maybe what you're saying is because you can't trust him.
You can't trust him.
Maybe
he's
going to
kill you. How do you know that he's going to also kill you?
So what they say is, what you're saying makes sense. What the Achronim explain is that no, because once the Svara has been stated, we don't care about the Svara. The Svara now is filed away, and now it's basically you can never kill someone else, even if across the board, even though the numbers might change across the board, you can't. But what you're saying maybe makes sense. You can't trust him. Says the Gemara, Hahi Ubra de Arche, the particular woman who was pregnant, she smelled something. Ubra and Arche, she smelled something. Reach. Also, Lukami de Rebbe, they came forward, they asked Rebbe, Amalahu Zilu Lachushalu, the Yom de Kippur, whisper in her ear that's Yom Kippur, maybe she'll change. So, Lachushale, Velichsha, and Vilachshe. So they whispered to her and they let her know. And Rashi, look at the last line, Rashi, Valchisha, Kibla Salachisha, she accepted the whisper, she acknowledged, okay, it's Yom Kippur, she had the fear of the Yom. Shepasik ha'ubar mitavaso, the ubar, the fetus is referring to literally, I'm not sure the fetus are, I guess I never understood it that way. That's how the Gemara is understanding it. I always understood that like a woman who's pregnant, she just gets hungrier, and her hormones change, so she's hungrier. Now this Rashi apparently is the Uber. It's the Uber that's inside her that wants the wants what it smells deep inside. So that's the idea. I'm seeing this now, I'm realizing this.
It's always the Uber was. It was always the Indian of the Uber, not here, not she.
Yeah, I get you're right. That's what the Uber. The mission says Uber, not Muberes. Ubra. I didn't have that till now. Maybe it was Pashup Shad, I guess. So
no, we just saw it in the comment. It's not Pashup Shad.
Okay, was it the Pashup Shah is the Muberes herself, right?
Now when you have attention to it, so you know it's the Ubar, not the Muberes. Because he's controlling the...
apparently there's a little piece here that discusses why the Mishnah uses Ubar, Ubra, versus Muberes to discuss this. Oh, they quote the Rashi about this, okay. Okay, Rashi seemed to emphasize the Uber the whole time, the fetus. So that's the idea, I guess, of whispering. When you're whispering to her, you're really whispering somehow that the Ubar could hear. I'm not sure you're whispering near her stomach so the Ubar could listen to it. You know, some have the custom of when the woman's pregnant, they always have music. They place headphones, special headphones on the stomach to hear some nice classical music. It makes the child smarter. I don't know. I'm just saying what people do.
There was a whole study in Time magazine that it seems that I don't know how they found out, but it seems that babies can... there are two languages in the house. It seems that the baby already, before he's born, listens and can tell the difference between two languages.
How in the world would they prove that?
I don't know that. There was a whole article about being bilingual and the whole thing, and they said that just...
Interesting. Okay, well, my youngest son grew up in my grandparents' house for the past 10 months, so he might know some Spanish now. We'll find out when he starts talking. Okay, so so the Gemara says again, so they whispered in her ear, really not the Ubar, the fetus itself acknowledged, accepted that Yom Kippur, it understood because again the Ubar learned in the womb and knows all Kol Tarkula before the Malach hits it. So it's Yom Kippur, I didn't know that, so I'm not going to be, I won't have a taiva for eating. So Kari Aleh, they referred to what, the Ubar, I guess? Kari Allah, or referring to Rebbe. They call it refer to Rebbe. The following pasuk, they said, "Beterem etzarcha babeten yidaticha." Before the beten comes out, before the ubar comes out, you should nafik mine. Sorry.
Beterem yitra means it's talking that the ubar already knows Hashem. Is that what it
is? Uh huh.
No, Hashem knows the ubar.
The other way around. This is what this is.
May the ubar knows Hashem, I think. And nafik me b'terem etzarcha b'beten yidaticha.
Before it comes out of the beten. No, oh, before I create you, etzarcha b'beten. Before I created you in the beten, I already know you. So I know what to whisper to you in order for you to calm you down. It's Yom Kippur, relax.
Okay. So anyways, we'll come out. Nafik minei Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan was the product of this. He was a child that came out of this. Sahi ibubra is another case of another fetus. The archa asu lekami the Rabbi Chanina. They came to Rabbi Chanina. Amhu lechushalo. So whisper that Yom Kippur lo ilcheshe. And the ubar didn't accept it. The ubar still wanted to eat. Kari Aleh. They refer to this one as zoro risham merechem. A different pasuk that didn't speak so highly of the ubar. In this case, who came out? Nafik minei shabasai atzer piri. He was the Shabtai was the had control of the fruit storages. He apparently raised the markets.
He used to buy all the fruits. I think we learned this in
Babasra apparently.
Babasra, I think he used to buy them and then he used to
sell them.
He used to just hold and then when they went up, he sold them all together.
Okay.
Smart businessman.
Or Russia.
Today he'd be honored at all.
Right.